Several years ago, I got the chance to go to Israel. It was incredible to walk around the ancient city of Jerusalem, to be at or near the places where Jesus walked and taught and healed people, to visualize in my mind scenes from the scriptures while being near the places where they actually occurred. It's really beyond words to describe what that feeling was like. So instead, let me take you there now. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to John chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible with you, feel free to hit pause and go grab it. And kids, if you're in the room and listening, feel free to get your Bibles too. I'll be right here and I'll wait for you just a second. All right, hopefully we all have our Bibles now, and I would encourage you to read this account in John chapter 5. We're just going to look at the very first part of it, and it goes like this. So what I want to focus on starts in verse 2. It says, "Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. While I was in Jerusalem, they were doing an excavation of what they believed to be was the pool of Bethesda." I took this photo. It's incredible to look down and see the steps leading into the pool. The yellow arrow there in the photo shows what would have been the steps leading into this pool. Colonnades surrounding it. It's just an incredible sight. The story goes on in verse 5 that at that pool, there was one who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, why does Jesus ask this question? In none of the other accounts of Jesus healing people, and we have so many, does he ever ask such a question? What did Jesus see here in this man? Now, not to minimize the tragedy of his condition, but perhaps hanging out poolside, it turned out to be not such a bad gig, or at least he was making the most of his bad situation. Or maybe Jesus could see that this guy was stuck in some self-pity. I don't really know, but there the question hangs. Do you want to get well? Now, Jesus eventually heals this guy, but it's the question Jesus asks that captures my attention, that he chooses to ask it. I wonder if he asks it today. I bet he does. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole by me? I believe Jesus asks this question often of you or of me because I have seen it in my life and in countless others over the years. Jesus Christ, the risen one, moves into our lives. We begin to walk with him. And there are moments in which he turns to us, knowing what we need, and asks, "Do you want to get well?" The risen one turns and asks us, "Are you ready to rise?" Jesus asks good questions, and he's looking for any point at which my wants and his wants begin to line up. And when they do, things get powerful. They also get very deep. See, what we want to talk about today is that if we are going to reach the heights of our wholeness, we need to travel with Jesus down into our depths. There's a healing that the Lord provides that binds our wounds, perfects our weaknesses, makes us whole. Healing comes, though, only when we're ready. And readiness arrives through self-awareness. David Benner is an author that I admire, and he writes about this very subject in his book, The Gift of Being Yourself. Here's what he says. Focusing on God while failing to know ourselves deeply may produce an external form of piety, but it will always leave a gap between appearance and reality. This is dangerous to the soul of anyone. Knowing God and knowing self are therefore interdependent. Neither can proceed very far without the other. So in our next few minutes together, we're going to look at four questions, powerful ones that we can ask ourselves as we travel with Jesus into our depths so that we can learn about ourselves and eventually gain the healing that we need. The first question is this: how have I been wounded or broken? In other words, where does it hurt? We all have wounds and broken places. Some are fresh, some are scarred over, but all are tender and sensitive to hurt. Wounds such as hurtful criticism or false accusation, betrayal or childhood abuse and neglect, troubled relationships, grief, loss. Too many times we don't want to admit it, but these wounds affect us greatly. And more than affect us, they end up driving our decisions and behavior, sometimes in ways that are so deep we don't even fully recognize or understand them. But when we can begin to understand them, it gives us a handle on our behavior as well as those motivations behind it. See, God is perceptive of all of these things happening in my inside, things that I may be completely oblivious to. In Psalm 109, we can turn to God. We see these cries to God, very real about our woundedness. It says in Psalm 109, "But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." Psalm 147, we read that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, church has often been a place, sadly, for denying this, denying that we're wounded or broken, that we've suffered. Church has somehow slipped into this category that people think you're supposed to show up and just say, "Hey, I'm fine, everything's fine." That's not what we do here at Outlook. That's not real. Like I said, God can see all the things that are going on in our lives, and denying it or covering it up helps nobody, least of all ourselves. As we go through our own health crisis at this time in all of our society, in our society, in our lives, I'm finding, and I bet you are too, that honestly, mental health, mental stability, emotional strength, that's our true health crisis, one that existed before what we're currently experiencing in this pandemic, and one that will only be heightened as we move forward. Jesus cares about that. He longs to heal that and is powerful to do so. Often in this denial of our wounds, it's because we've bought into some narrative that we need to have a tough exterior. But I have found that those with the toughest exterior that ends up wanting to deflect any question like Jesus might ask, "Do you want to get well?" ends up revealing a pretty hollow and confused interior. And that's no good. So we want to move past that. If God knows all these things about us, then we can be honest with him. I'm reminded of Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. He writes that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, he goes on, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Isn't that true sometimes? We don't always know what to pray, especially in the midst of woundedness and hurt. But check out what Paul says. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. In other words, God knows. God knows, God cares, and God longs to heal. It takes time, but it's true. I've been deeply wounded at times in my life and hurt, and maybe even tempted to just sit by the pool with some self-pity. But as we let Jesus continue to walk with us in life, it may take time, but we will find healing. Henry Nouwen writes about this idea of being healing, of gaining healing from our wounds, and how in turn we can use that to help others. Check out what he says. Nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. Whenever I think about the truths that we're covering here, my mind immediately goes to Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a powerful ministry that focuses on these very things. It's a way to put into practice what we've been talking about in this series. CR focuses on overcoming. It's practical and comprehensive. It's Christ-centered. It's very effective. I'm happy to say that Celebrate Recovery has resumed their on-campus meeting. That's Monday nights at 7 o'clock. When we think of being wounded healers, folks who've understood their depths, let Jesus do his work, and now let that healing flow to others. I can't help but think of Celebrate Recovery. It's for all of us and any of us who've encountered some hurts in life, have some habits we want to overcome, or just some hang-ups that are tripping us up. CR is a powerful ministry. I'd encourage you to give that some consideration if healing and what we're talking about today is really resonating with you. So our first question, where am I wounded? Our second question has to do with admitting where we lack. Where am I weak and vulnerable? These two questions really go together most of the time because our weaknesses will many times be related to where we've been wounded. And so this next question is a next step, very important. Where am I weak and vulnerable? We have to admit our weaknesses. You know, there's this tool, perhaps you've used it, maybe just heard of it. It's called Strengths Finder. You might have used it at work. It's a great way to assess the ways that you're talented and gifted and what you're strongest at. It's exactly what it sounds like. Sometimes I've wondered if we shouldn't create a tool called Weakness Finder. I think that could be pretty useful for us as we think about our internal world and the things that are going on in our lives. Jesus helps us with that. He can point to us in a shame-free way and point out for us where we're weak and can be then made strong. So Weakness Finder, it might be a pretty cool thing for anyone. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about when I was younger and first in ministry. From that enthusiastic, I'm still enthusiastic, but from that perspective, what mattered most to me was strength and joy, that I wanted to exude that and embody that in my life. And it was only as life taught me its lessons, and I bet you know exactly what I'm talking about, life teaches us our lessons, that I began to see the beauty of brokenness as well. That it wasn't just a one-sided perspective of just joy and just strength, kind of like Nehemiah said, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that would have been my mantra. And it's a good one, but it's an incomplete one. I would have rated strength and joy as among my highest spiritual qualities, but I have also come to learn through experience, read into that suffering, my perspective has changed. Today, I value brokenness and the weakness that it provides, not simply joy and the strength that comes along with it. But in brokenness and weakness, I have come to also find some very valuable spiritual qualities. See, we're not passive recipients of God's healing. And as we receive that healing, we learn these kinds of things about ourselves. We cannot say we're ready to get well if we're not willing to admit we need healing. So where am I weak and vulnerable? Jesus said in Matthew 9, very matter-of-factly, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So where do I need healing, even if I haven't realized it or admitted it before? Too often, we don't take the time to examine ourselves, to really look, to move past being self-conscious or self-assured and become what we need to be, self-aware. We can ask God to help us with this. This is a step we all must take as we walk with and mature in Christ. We have to honestly confront where we are susceptible to temptation. That's where we're weak, where we can end up giving in. Our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses are the places where we will simply habitually fall short. We all have them. Denying them does us no good. See, healing best begins when we're given the wisdom and the insight to prevent injury and illness in the first place. That's the best kind of healing, and ultimately the kind of healing that walking with Jesus brings. We have character weaknesses in that some virtues, such as compassion or self-discipline, they're strong in us, but there are others, maybe patience or joy, that need to be developed. So we're weak in some of those character traits, and such weaknesses can't be ignored. For one person, it might be lust that leads to adultery. For another, it could be laziness that leads to apathy. You have yours, and I have mine, and we need to bring them to the Lord. Paul was honest with the Corinthians about this when he wrote, "Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." We'll talk more about that in a moment, but he is acknowledging his weakness. He's not denying it or trying to cover it up. "I'm fine, everything's fine." He knows he needs strength that can only come from God. So it's important to know the situations and the conditions that leave us vulnerable. We each have times in which we're particularly vulnerable to being wounded or doing something that we really must not. Understanding such times of weakness and then adjusting accordingly is wise and necessary. Perhaps it's accountability from others. Perhaps it's simply choosing to avoid certain situations and temptations. But often, our weaknesses, when ignored, will become the drivers of our lives. And behind those weaknesses are often wounds that we have forgotten or covered up or denied as well. So we need to admit where we lack, where am I weak and vulnerable. That's our second question. Here's our third. We need to look at how we have coped and ask the question, how have I handled this so far? It's an honest question to ask. Given my wounds, given my weaknesses, how have I handled this so far? We've got to have the sense to stop and learn what has not worked. We try to control our image, control other people. We attempt to control our problems, control our pain. Maybe we ask these questions far too often. What did I do to deserve this? Or what's wrong with me? Why does this always happen to me? Will things ever change? We walk around in anger or self-pity or resentment or withdrawal. We're poolside, paralyzed, when Jesus wants to come and heal us. Back to Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. At one point, and when he's talking about his weaknesses, he refers to one. We don't know exactly what it is, but metaphorically, he calls it a thorn in my flesh or a thorn in my side. And he says that he pleads with the Lord three different times to just take it away. This is how he, in his own humanness, wanted to deal with that weakness. Just take it away, Lord. And that's, we all can relate, that's tempting. Just get rid of it, even as he's doing, pray it away. But listen to what happens. In that time of praying, he senses this answer from the Lord. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast, Paul says, all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul knew that having weaknesses did not make him less than, but instead coming clean and understanding his weaknesses and then bringing them before the Lord actually made him more than he would have ever been before. That Jesus is masterful at working with our weaknesses and letting his grace flow and turning that into a whole new level of strength. Paul certainly knew, and we're learning it in our own lives as well, things can break us down, but hopefully break us open. We have to learn to walk with wounds, which, when we submit them to the Lord, end up doing a healing work of their own, that those wounds actually teach us things and bring us strength. They become openings for more grace and more strength and more wisdom. Broken open. See, brokenness is not about not being healed, somehow staying in some level of brokenness or dysfunction. Brokenness is about staying open through the healing, not closed off, but open. Elizabeth George writes about this and says that the process God uses to mature us, to transform us into masterpieces, is difficult to grasp. If we had our way, spiritual growth would definitely occur by quick, magical, pain-free means. But that's not the way God chooses to work in us. She's right. Brokenness is beautiful. Ironically, it even has its benefits, as we heard Paul say. Brokenness makes us humble, gives us empathy and compassion. It pushes us to depend wholly on God. And along with the humility and the compassion brokenness brings come wisdom and trust. We lean on God as never before. The sweetness of our trust in Him is richer than ever. There's nothing quite like the trust that we can gain in God when we know that He has walked with us through a terribly difficult season. Our abiding awareness of His love and care for us moves from just being something that might be nice to hear or nice to say into something we know deep down in our soul. Pain is inherent to life. It's what we do with the pain and what we allow the pain to do in us that makes all the difference. How have I handled this so far is a question worth asking. And it's twin over here. How do I process pain? Does pain cause you to withdraw or fill you with anger or the need for revenge? Does it make you afraid? Do you feel the need to defend yourself? Do you keep your hurt to yourself and keep it quiet, or do you prefer to talk it out? These are all helpful questions because pain comes to each of us. How do I handle pain? We each respond to pain in our own way, in good ways and in less than good ways. And it must be said that much of the pain that we humans inflict on each other is due to our inability or unwillingness to rightly address our own pain. Understanding this and getting ahead of it will save us a world of heartache, many sleepless nights, and likely even a few visits to the doctor. So the third question, how have I handled this so far? Chances are not well, at least not perfectly well. Where am I weak and vulnerable? How have I been wounded and broken? These questions are essential, and that third one is super helpful and insightful. How have I handled this on my own? This kind of introspection may not come naturally to you or to any of us, but it's worth it. Because listen, when Jesus comes by and sees us and asks, "Do you want to get well?" there is only one right answer. But without that introspection, that answer may not come as easily as we would like. And this leads us then to that fourth question. It has to do with deciding who we will be. Here's the question. Am I ready to be healed, whatever that entails? Healing can sometimes be the gift you never asked for because it contains some things that we may instinctually want to avoid. Am I ready to confess? Am I ready to confront? Am I ready to change? What is the condition of my soul? Am I ready to see what Jesus sees in me? And am I ready to let him do his healing work, perhaps his surgery? In Matthew chapter 13, we read a quote from the prophet Isaiah. In other words, this is a description of the human condition that had been around and has been around for a very, very long time. It goes like this. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. So in this passage, we hear God's heart. He sees us, his people, and often our eyes are closed, ears closed, hearts unreceptive to what it is he most wants to give us. Healing. He sees it, but we don't. And he wants to show himself as a loving healer to us. Wants us to turn to him so he can heal. So we should ask ourselves, am I becoming more or less sensitive to the truth of God? Am I becoming more or less aware of his spirit and his work in me? Am I gradually becoming dulled and calloused as the passage describes it? Can I hardly hear with my ears? Have I closed my eyes? See, when we neglect our spiritual health and our need for healing, we set ourselves up really for failure. Our joy decreases and our anger and bitterness have room to grow. Truth becomes fuzzy. Our values fade. We do things we never thought we would that bring consequences neither we nor our families can endure. This must not be allowed to happen. Allow me to beg you. Do not let that continue if your answer to any of those questions was yes. See, people can love you and they can pray for you, but they can't do this for you. You have to want to get well. I do too. Want recovery. Want to be made whole. Back to Paul in the Corinthians, he summarizes what we're talking about today in this beautiful passage. For to be sure, speaking of Jesus, he was crucified in weakness. Yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him. Hear those words. By God's power we will live. That which seeks to defeat you, in God's power, there is victory. That which seeks to confuse you, in God's power, there is wisdom and discernment and insight. That which seeks to keep you down, paralyzed, in God's power, there is strength, there is movement, there is energy. That which seeks to draw the curtains and turn out the lights and remove all hope, in God's power, there is brightness and tons of hope. Perhaps we've been paralyzed and we need to realize where we've been sitting and not moving, not pursuing healing, not following Jesus. Deciding who will be, am I ready to be healed, whatever that entails. I can think of few questions more powerful. The ones we've looked at today, how have I coped? Where am I weak? Where am I wounded? These are all useful tools in working with Jesus on the healing we need on the inside. See, we want to reach the heights of our wholeness, but to do so, we have to travel with Jesus down to our depths. Not unlike the excavations that revealed the original Bethesda pool, we can discover so much when we archaeologically get down into the wounds and weaknesses that are driving our character and our behavior. Hear those words from Jesus today, my friends. Do you want to get well? And answer him with, yes, I am ready to rise. Let's pray about that. Jesus, it is our prayer that we hear your voice. We sense your loving presence. Doesn't shame us, doesn't look down on us and point out all our weaknesses only to make us feel bad. It's a presence that says, I see you and I'm ready to heal you. Are you ready to get up and walk with me? When we sense that, Lord, help us to cry out from our depths, Lord Jesus, yes, we're ready to rise. We're ready to be healed. Help us then to make the choices and to take the steps that are necessary. Give us the strength and the courage to do so. Lord, that's my prayer for everyone watching or listening today, that you would be with them. They would sense your nearness, your strength, and your power that comes from you, Lord, the risen one, who wants nothing more than to help us rise. We thank you for that, Lord, and we say that thank you in your beautiful, powerful name. Amen.